Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about love, passion, and purpose. Oh, my goodness. How many times have we gone down this road? We say we know what it is. We've got it all in the bag. We've all been committed to it, and we are just following along, doing what we, quote, supposed to be doing. What happens when things start to shift and change? People start to say, you know, I'm feeling something different today. I think I'm going to make a shift. I'm not going to say it's okay. I'm not going to say I am fine, and I'm not going to follow along. What happens? Do you fall in and out of love? Do you fall in and out of passion? Do your commitments start to break? What we're really talking about is, if you look at several decades, you know, in the 50s and 60s, when I grew up, gosh, you know, you met somebody, you got married to them, and that was the end of the story. I can remember my first divorce. I'll never forget it. The same day, all my relatives said to me, "What is wrong with you? You know, he's such a nice guy." Yeah. And then we think, what is a story that they don't know? You know, sometimes I think when we say, what is really going on with people? Does everybody need to know your story and chime in on your relationships? Do they have to stand up and support you because you feel the victim or the martyr? Or perhaps they have to say, you know what, let's just get this, learn more, and see where we can go together. Maybe your relationship just needs a little bit of a jump start, a little bit more reframing, and perhaps they can turn around and say, you know what, we can do this. This is great. Today, my guests are Kathleen Todd and Diane Basinger. They're the co-authors of Mindful Loving, A Guide to Loving with Passion and Purpose. Diane and Kathleen, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. We are just delighted to be here with you.
Thank you so much for both being here. I think, you know, this idea of love and, you know, I think the word love, people think it's, you know, something you have to get. There's a template for it and, you know, sign my soul up because I'll sell it at any cost, you know. And don't you think that's sometimes where people sometimes get a little bit lost?
Yes, I think, you know, what we've come to know through our work is that at the end of the day, love becomes a decision. It is a feeling. But sometimes our most loving things are simple things. And in our culture, I think we make big, grandiose notions about what love is all about. It's the simple things, Dr. Jeanette.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting you just said that because sometimes I think people say, love is, if he brings my favorite food home, it's still hot and it's on the table at 5 o'clock when I walk in the door, you know? But if you walk in the door and it's not on the table and it's cold and he got the wrong thing, oh, he doesn't love me. Don't you think sometimes people equate the conversation and it's maybe just a miscommunication and it's not really the factor of how love is defined? Yes?
Absolutely, yes. It's because many people are grounded in that belief and that expectation that says, also, if you really love me, you'd know what I want.
Right.
Instead of, and you'd know what to do for me. And when you don't do those things, then it must mean that you don't love me. Instead of what Diana said is love is a decision that is, it's a decision we make every day. You know, there is another component, I think, to love, too, that it is an inherent part of who each of us are, is that we are all love beings. And so, I mean, our ability to love is there in all of us. But we get sidetracked with the belief and this expectation that says, if you love me, then something should follow.
Right. It's almost as if you have to put a stamp on it. You know, I always said to people, what is the silver box, the purple bow, and the bells on it? And it has to have your name and calligraphy on it. What is that thing that you're seeking in life? And then when you open up the box, then you really start to go into something else. What are you really looking for? You're looking for safety or security, or are you looking for tenderness? Are you looking for intimacy? Are you looking for just someone to have a conversation with? I think all of these are bits and pieces of what a loving relationship is about. However, is that truly what the love package is, or is really just love unconditional, and all of that other is called that loving relationship?
Exactly, because that package, the concept of love being in that pretty package, means that love is outside of me.
Right.
And as long as I keep looking for love outside of me, I'm always going to miss the mark. And when we begin to go inside and know that love starts within, and to take responsibility for what does love mean to me, and how am I loving me? Because when I can take responsibility for how am I loving me, then that projects out to everyone, to my partner and everyone in the world.
This has been one of the most exciting things in terms of writing the book, because it is a collection of all the things that we have learned from our clients over four decades. And it's a wide range for the young in love who are just learning to create loving practices in their relationship, having conversations, driving the changes that come forward in their life together. But it's also been a beautiful experience working with seniors who, after 50 years of being together, are coming to new discoveries because they are taking time to stop and communicate and really define what loving means to them so that their partner can fulfill. Because we love in different ways. We show love in different ways, and we receive love in different ways.
Right. Let's talk about the word communication right at the get-go, because communication sometimes is based upon our history. It's based upon how we were raised.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's based upon, stick your finger in the air, how the wind's blowing. You can take it however you want to take it. The difference with communication, we say, but if, or what, and why, and you have to have all these rational things on it. Sometimes the communication gets skewed when you're not even coming from the same perspective or point of reference, don't you think?
Well, I think one of the greatest things I've learned in working with people is it's not as much about communication, what I say. It's really the art of listening so that we really are hearing what the person is saying and be able to digest that before we then run into sharing our opinion or our immediate response. So that's the one thing that I think I start with, in helping people really listen to themselves first, check in with how they are or are not expressing themselves, and then how are they listening to their loved ones.
The art of listening from the heart to understand, I think, is critical. It's not to discount the importance of communication, what I say. And we do talk about that in the book. It is very important to take responsibility for what I'm saying. I think that it's paramount, though, to pay attention to listening. You think about all the courses, all the talks, all the books on communication, compared to the ones out there on how to listen. They're how to speak. Right. But we don't really teach how to listen. And especially in a love relationship, it's more than just listening from our ears. It is listening from our heart.
And also, too, don't you think that listening and learning and loving is a lifetime experience. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that you get and you've got it under your belt. It's almost as if you really phase through different components of learning about people. So you might feel really wonderful when you marry somebody when you're 18 or 19. You might learn more about yourselves, and you may say, I'm moving out of this. And that's probably the most loving thing you can do at that time for some people. Also, too, I've seen elders, they'll say, I really have fallen, it's just I love you dearly, but I'm not in love with you, but I'll be happy to stay together with you because this is what we need to do to still, exist and be able to have our lifestyle. So I think there's a lot of different ways that you can have a loving relationship. And the idea that there is one way or one level playing field that everybody's, trying to attain themselves to can almost set you up for failure. But if you can see that there's many different ways, and that's what your creation's about, don't you think?
Yes, yes. It's not only that there are different ways, it's also that we go through different cycles in our loving. And they're very normal and natural, just like the cycles of nature. I don't think that as a culture, though, we really prepare ourselves or it gets a lot of recognition that indeed we will go through changes and cycles in our love relationship. Because often it's like, okay, got it, fall in love, this is it, and lock it in, and this is the way it's supposed to be forever. And how sad that is, because we are growing beings. And we would hope that our relationships grow as well. So it's really important also to pay attention to your own growth cycles and the growth cycles of a loving relationship.
Can we talk for a minute about the word respect? Now, I'd love to hear both of your perspectives on this, because if we talk about respect, what is it? Because if you've never grown up with it, you have one version. If you've grown up and you've seen, your parents, they have wonderful respect for each other. You can see that. People say, oh, my boss has total disrespect for me. And then they go home and they're trying to get it out of the relationship, what is the word respect, and how does that – I think it almost creates such a spiral in your life with your children, with your family, with your friends and everything that – which one is the power player that's pulling you today? Because all the others are going to suffer, yes?
Well, I think respect starts with the individual. And as I did a lot of work with families, much of the parenting that I would coach parents with would be to help them build self-respect in their children. And so what does that mean, Dr. Jeanette? I think it means that we give time for exploration around things that are important to us. We give and teach people how to express those things, all the while helping them understand there are differences and that they extend that respect to others. And so it does have to start with the individual. If an individual does not have self-respect or self-love, they will be limited in their ability to show respect for others and show love for others, because they will be coming from a very insecure position, comparative. People will be comparing themselves to other people and oftentimes coming up short. And so it's really helping people really get in touch with their passions. What's the most important thing to them? How do they make their life count? Not because somebody else says it has to count in a certain way, but because they determined what their gift is in the world. And they live from that passion, and they live from that service. And then they become self-respecting and then can respect others. And it becomes more respectful.
Well, one of the things that you said, really pinged for me is that respect is learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Diana was talking about, we have to pay attention to how we learned it in our families and growing up. And the beauty about anything that is learned, if it wasn't functional or appropriate, we can always learn something different. And if we didn't learn something, we get to learn it. So respect is one of those things that we do get to learn. It does, I think, it starts with respecting self, and at the same time, it's respecting things and people outside of us, even as watching young children, to be able to respect their environment and to respect their playmates and even their toys and their things. As we grow up, then we project that on our partner. I think the guideline, though, is always to recycle your back to self and go, how am I respecting myself? And from that degree, then I can respect another. Instead of expecting another to respect me so that I can respect myself.
A lot of times people will say, you don't give me respect, so I'm not going to give it back to you. And then they get in this voracious, you know, back and forth thing, when really that's not what we're talking about at all. And I think those are times when you see relationships that have kind of weathered the storm, and people say, oh, but they always look, you know, like they're always arguing about things, and I don't know how they're going to make it, but they say, oh, we just love each other anyway. But yet they've still got this, like, undercurrent. Do you think sometimes we can work to clear some of these undercurrents, because we really don't need to be 65, 75, 85, and we've still got the angst all the time that we're arguing, right?
That's a great question, and I go back to your comment about communication. We really believe in teaching people practical phrases, practical communication. When someone is approaching you and saying, you know, you don't respect me, there's an automatic defense mechanism that can come up from the inside. But if we take responsibility for that feeling and we think about the value of the relationship and the person standing right in front of us, we can risk saying something like, help me understand, if I was showing you the respect that you would be feeling, what would I be saying or doing? So we won't get into the defense of, well, I did this and I did that and that's how I show respect, because we may have been showing respect, but the other person wasn't receiving it as such.
Mm-hmm.
So the real goal in the communication, when someone's approaching us with an accountability or something that's been painful or hurtful, first of all, we have to take a deep breath and calm our own internal defensiveness, surprise, or discomfort, and look at them in the eyes and say, help me understand. Give me an example of what I would be doing if I was showing you more respect. So it does go back to communication.
There's another part of that as well that, you know, that you mentioned in terms of the stuff, the crud that we hold on to year after year. For many couples, we've heard this over and over again, how difficult it is to truly resolve issues, is that they'll argue about something or deal with something and then it doesn't get resolved, so they put it on the back shelf, and then it will reemerge when the ugly head will creep back up when we least expect
right.
it. So resolving those issues is important, and sometimes it really does come down to a matter of just saying, okay, I'm done with this. I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't have to carry it. Instead of, okay, we've been fighting about this for years, and so it's part of our relationship. Sometimes it does need some deeper healing, and sometimes it also just needs a very quick kind of going, why am I holding on to this? I get to let it go. It really can be easy sometimes.
You know, I work a lot with end-of-life clients, and I'll tell you, man, the deepest, darkest secrets, all you have to do is say this is the, you know, the end of your lifetime span or phase, and, oh, man, it seems like whatever demons you've had in your closets, they are just on steroids. I mean, stuff comes out of everywhere, you know? And really, if you look back and you sat down for 2 seconds and said, let's just air all that out, outside on your own, and then come back together, you'll find it's truly sometimes fear. Fear of, I'm going to lose this relationship. I'm going to lose this person. I'm going to lose this. I'm going to lose that. And, you know, fear is a huge driver in most of our relationships, especially when we feel like something that we need, safety, security, money, a person in the house or whatever it is, might be changing or might be leaving. Don't you think that's a huge indicator when people finally end up saying, I've got to do something quick, they're getting ready to leave?
Oh, I do agree. I think it is a gift. And sadly, why wait till at the end of life? We don't always have to wait till the very end, but it really, it's like there's no more time, and so I'm not wasting my time anymore. I'm going to get right down to it. And I agree with you. I think a basis of most of our difficulties is about fear. You know, fear is the absence of love. You know, one of my favorite old books is Jerry Sapolsky's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, is that we're either, and he says, we're either operating from a place of love or a place of fear. And once I recognize I'm in fear, I have the choice and the opportunity to make a shift and move into love. And and it's really a releasing and letting go of that fear that for many of us is a lifelong journey.
But I think also, too, that, you know, the now in the year 2020, we're hearing elders are so lonely, you know. They feel alone. And I think that's sometimes a sense of where they haven't quite gotten to this point where loving themselves before they've lost their partner, or loving themselves right now in the moment that they're in, is, that would be a huge elder project to do, you know, because they've never really been taught that. They've never really felt that. Many haven't. And, you know, if you can think back to the 70s, wasn't it, oh, you complete me, and everybody was trying to do that. So you had a whole lot of overlays, you know. And when a piece of the puzzle is gone, the puzzle is never correct. So I think sometimes, I think what we're talking about today is how we can get to the other side, but also to a lot of the challenges along the way. Yes?
One of the things that, when you mention the word fear, I always want to know what the story is behind the fear. Because the fear, if it's immediate, like we're in a car accident, that's a very physical, immediate experience. But oftentimes the fear we have, given the conflict in a relationship or changes that are going on with our lives, it's the story that we're telling ourselves. And Kathleen and I have worked very hard at honoring, you know, the fear, the disappointment, the sadness, the depression in people's lives, all the while discovering what is the story and how can you unpack the story, and so you walk away with a resilience. If you look at people who have experienced trauma and rise to the top, it's because they have an innate or learned resilience. And I think resilience can be learned. You know, part of the reason we wrote this book was because it's full of ideas and practical tools and practices that people can use right away. What is your story? You're telling yourself a story that may not even be true, and then you act on that belief, and then that impacts your relationship. And so if you can articulate, I'm telling myself right now that you don't care about me, then you are being more accountable for how you're thinking, you're being more accountable for how you're feeling, and then you are communicating that to somebody who is probably quite shocked because that was not their intention for you to feel. And you have a much better place to go forward and utilize an enrichment of your own growth and development and an enrichment of your life together. And Kathleen and I wrote this book primarily based on our experiences with couples. But the more we get feedback from people who have picked it up, it is a book about being mindful in life, you know, and in any relationship that you have. So, again, you know, I think it's, if you look at fear and you look at love, we do have to acknowledge fear is real. At the same time, we have to unpack the story underneath it and repack what is it going to be if it's more loving, if it's more mindful, if it's more fulfilling, and you're fulfilling a service and a purpose in this life.
I think also, too, the idea of commitment in any relationship is truly when you're when you enter into relationship and everybody is starting to grow, when you're able to work through the steps in your book, you're able to, at different times in your life, pick up the book and maybe say, you know what, this might be something we could look at today. I've noticed something different with myself and I want to explore it. Or things might be coming up from your past, or things might be coming up you'd like to do, or things might be coming up that you really didn't say it before. Don't you think that the evolution of our souls and of our hearts and of our life is truly what's really what we're talking about? A committed, loving relationship is about working through the lifetime of challenges, of life, of everything that it brings. And it's never a straight line, and it's imprinted in a love romance novel, you know? It's definitely up and down, and it has all these things. And when you can sit and look into someone's eyes and say, what's going on? Tell me, you know, and open yourself up. That is golden. You just can't buy that, you know? It's just something that you really, it's like the golden ticket. You're able to really have something there, don't you think?
Absolutely. It is. It does start with this commitment, the commitment to love and the commitment to be the best that I can be in this moment. And so this is, you know, the mindfulness aspect of it is so important to pick. This moment is all I have, all any of us have. And it allows all of us to stop, even if we get off track, and to notice, okay, where am I right now? And
right.
And what do I want to have happen? What do I want to experience in this moment? And so it is an evolution. It is a growth. We operate on a growth model. One of the images that I like is more, it certainly is not linear, but it's much more like a spiral. You know,
right.
Sometimes we're going around the spiral and it's like, oh my goodness, I thought I dealt with that before. You know,
yeah.
And here it is again. Oh dear.
Mm-hmm.
Until you stop for a moment and go, oh, I'm at a different rung on the spiral. Even
right.
though I'm coming around, but I'm at a different space than I was before. And now more empowered to deal with it differently. And so in our relationships, we, you know, as long as we, you know, hopefully we set it on a growth model that we continue to make this commitment to grow in our love. This is a journey, and it really can be an exciting, exhilarating, and very challenging journey all at the same time.
Right. You know, I always like to say that love is like a tapestry. It just depends on which color thread you're working with today, you know? And it's really about being able to create and to be able to explore, and there's something new. You never know what your thread is going to make today, you know? And to be able to be okay with that instead of resisting it. You know, I think the resistance is sometimes, we always talk about resilience. Well, let's talk about resistance, you know? There's
right.
a whole lot of resistance
right.
in the world, you know? And resistance can be, you could feel it in your body. You could feel it in your heart. You could feel it in your mind. You could feel it just by walking outside, don't you think?
One of the things that we thought was so helpful, Kathleen mentioned the cycles of mindful loving, but this helps us think about the lifelong loving. You know, it comes together
yes.
from that place of attraction. There's a naiveness about our loving in the early stages. Whether you're in your 20s, in your 50s, or even in your 70s, it's a new experience. So there is a sense of newness and attraction. And after you get to know each other, we get to know each other's warts, and we get
right.
to know each other's hearts. And so we're challenged at that point in the relationship development, if you talk about spirals and, you know, taking it into a more soulful experience, it gets grounded in acceptance. And
yeah.
going back to this notion of resistance, that's a natural part of the acceptance process. And if we kind of unpack the resistance and know what the story is underneath that, we can reshape the story so that we move through resistance into acceptance. Acceptance sometimes isn't because you like it. it's because you know that it's in your best interest or your partner's best interest. And then in the third, you know, cycle, you think about transitions. We grow, we change, and we have to address those changes in ourselves, in our partners. You have retirement, you have health issues, you have graduations, celebrations, challenges. But that's about transition and embracing the notion that we move through that, because then we build the resilience. And so we recycle all those places of acceptance and attraction and transition and resilience. I'm sure you've had the experience, Dr. Jeanette, working with folks in the final chapters of the of someone's life. I am sure you have witnessed the beauty of a couple coming to that place in their life, and there's nothing more to be said because they've said it all and they're free to move on to the next chapter.
Yeah. You know, I see a lot of times, you know, women needing help at the end, and a lot of men, it's been 50-50. Do they decide to turn around and do everything they possibly could? And some just turned around and just hired people and walked away. And I think the idea, that kind of scares people. So I think that a lot of times they say, well, what can we do differently? And I think that there is no answer in life for what we can do differently to have a perfection of life. I think that's super important to say it, you know, in closing about, is life supposed to be perfect? Is it supposed to be that everything's going to work out, even if you do all of the work and you read all of the books and you have all the therapy and you do all of this and the other? Is it going to be perfect? And why is perfection always on the table? If we took perfection off of the table and said it is unattainable, there is no such word as perfection anymore, and we said there's just a beautiful life in all of its imperfections, couldn't that let a lot of people say, it's off my shoulders, I'm okay then, I can work with this?
Yes, it is so freeing to let it, just let it go, as Elsa Nana say, just to let it go. Not always easy to actually do. The shift, the paradigm shift in beliefs, though, is also to shift from, I got to do it right, I got to get it done, it's supposed to be perfect, to this is an adventure. To be in this lifetime, in this relationship, from a place of being curious and open and excited to the adventure of this life and this love relationship. It's a tough, sometimes it's tough, but such an important shift that is so freeing to let go of the resistance, because truly what we resist will persist, and that we can, you know, instead of keep doing it over again, to be able to let go of the oars and let this boat take me where it's going to go and be open for the adventure.
Yes. It definitely, if we can just, I say to people, spread your wings. Get your feet off the ground and just spread your wings, you know.
Yes.
Because we get so entrenched in what we believe, and it's got to be dogma. And it's sort of like, get off your duff, you know, spread your wings. What do you want to do? Go do something else, you know.
Because you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you absolutely can do it.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, because I think that sometimes the concepts of love, and people say, oh, it's just too hard, I'm not going to do it, and they kind of shortchange themselves, because it's really all about experiencing. So you don't have to say that you need to have something like knock it into the ground and I'm going to have something I keep forever. My gosh. You know, if you look at it in the 50s and 60s, people were dying, you know, at usually the age 60, 65. We tacked on a whole other, 20, 30 years now? Now we have to figure it out to be around longer. So, you know, I think do the best you can, and if it doesn't work, chuck it and start again, right?
And that's the beauty, yes. We get to start. Tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
This moment is the next moment, the new moment.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, I don't know about this thing about living to 100 these days, though, you know. You know, a lot of people say, oh, but I'm going to live to 100 and 110. I'm going, oh, my gosh, check me out. I'm getting out before that, you know, because I think sometimes we think, you know, sometimes people feel a little bit weary and a little bit weathered, I think. And they're kind of like, I just don't have the energy or the effort to do it anymore. And I'll say, fantastic. Just love yourself. Isn't that good enough, right?
Exactly right. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Kathleen and Diane, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
We do have a website that people can take a look at and look at a little bit more in depth about our backgrounds and what we offer in Mindful Loving, a guide to loving with passion and purpose. And that is mindfullovingbook.com. Please leave any comments that you'd like to make. We do put in blogs for sharing practical skills and ideas that you can implement right away. And there's also contact information on the website. So we really encourage people to leave comments, follow us on Facebook. We love to interact and engage with our audience. So that would be really important to us. And we hope that what we're sharing is important to them.
Absolutely. Well, we'd like to say thank you so much for joining us, because I think to just say this book might be something for today, but it might be something for a few years from now, and you could share it amongst generations. Yes?
That's what we really love about it. And it's really for any relationship. We have individuals, family members dealing with other family members, you know, using the principles that we've designed in the book. So it's been a pleasure just listening to you. And one of the things, Dr. Jeanette, that I had never thought about that you mentioned today was the soul of the relationship.
Yes.
And that's a new concept for me, having written this book. But it's a beautiful concept, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be about perfection. It is a segue through practice that gets us to the spiritual realm of our own self-love, loving others, and making a difference in the world.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you all need to come back on and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the soul. We'll talk about soul love. What is it? And I think we'll learn a little bit more. We've spoken about it for many years on this show, but I'm happy to share it again. So you're welcome to come on again.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank
this
you
has
so
been
much.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you'd like more information about Kathleen Todd and Diane Basinger, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to their website for more information about their work and also their book, Mindful Loving. It truly is about being able to say, what are we really out for? Are we out to have someone else fix me, or someone do for me, someone get for me, or we're always looking for that outside to come in? Perhaps working on self-love, self-care, and being able to say, you know what, I'm good to go. I will respect others as they also respect me. And it's about honoring, cherishing, and making commitment to have a very dedicated line of communication with another. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it simply does need to exist. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.